kind of continue on where we left off this morning. So we left off when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle. That's verse 29, Mark 4, because the harvest has come. And that little phrase, grain ripens, was interesting to me to see that it had to do with, like, submitting or giving oneself over to. And so that's really an interesting thought when we think about the spiritual implications of that. You know, you can't be saved until you're able to give yourself to Christ. That's when the harvest happens with your soul. How many of you remember your salvation experience, you know? I mean, I thought that I was giving up something that was unknown at the point in time. How's this going to work out? But what I found out is I was really gaining everything. You know, it's like, you know, somebody coming up and saying, give me that old Chevy, but they don't really tell you what they're going to give you in return, you know, and they give you a brand new Dodge. And my wife's shaking her head. I'm just playing around. Maybe even something better than that. I don't know. Is there anything? Yeah, I'm sure there is. But just the idea that, you know, we don't really get to see the next thing or know it for sure until we're willing to give up what we got. We got to open that clenched hand, you know. Sometimes we're hanging on to something for dear life thinking that I don't really like what I got, but it's all that I got, and so I'm trying to hang on to it here. And God's just saying, come to me, let it go. Just let it go. And that's what we got to encourage people to do. But he's the one that grows the seed, right? So we plant the seed, and we let him be the one to grow it. And then, so he goes right on into another example of what the kingdom of God is like, or likened unto. And he says in verse 30, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? I wish I had one. I've seen them like in clear epoxy, you know, things that people like make. You can buy keychains to have one. I mean, it's like tiny. You know, it's well, best thing I guess I can probably use to describe it in stuff that we eat would be like an okra seed. Even a little bit smaller than an okra seed. So how many of you guys have ever eaten okra? Raise your hand. Whether you like it or not, have you ever eaten it? You know those little white seeds that it has in there, just like little balls? That's about what you know, I would best describe a mustard seed to. And I think it's probably a pretty apt comparison, because let's read the rest of it. So it starts out small. What else did Jesus ever use a mustard seed to be an example of? Faith. He said, if anybody has even the faith the size of a mustard seed, that's just a little bit. If you just have a little bit of faith, like literally, it can move mountains. And so we go, hey, you know, what are you talking about? Move mountains. Well, how about the faith that David had, and God used him to bring down a giant, you know, a mountain of a man. And there's mountains in our lives and things. How about your sin? It's a mountain. But you see, the kingdom of God in us starts with just this little bitty bit of faith. And that's what he's talking about here, since he used that and likened that faith the size of a mustard seed. And now he's going to use this parable that we can picture what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed. It's like faith, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So faith is where we come, you know, how we get saved, right? So it's by grace through faith. And that's what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. So what Jesus talked about being, in, you know, even just the smallest faith. And so the kingdom of God begins to start to grow in me. when that little seed of faith is sown, okay, and then I act upon it, and now when does it stop growing? It just continues to grow, and it continues to grow. And you see, it grows to the point that not only does it affect my life, it starts affecting other lives too. You notice? His faith gets, you know, this kingdom of God winds up growing to the point, this mustard plant, that birds can nest in its shade. And so I want you to think about what they're talking about, what he's talking about there, what kind of plant this must be. Have you guys ever grown okra plants? Have you ever grown an okra plant? All right, I got some hands up. You got to try it sometime. Just give it away. They're like the coolest plant in the garden. These things, I'm not kidding, they turn into a small tree. Like you plant this seed, and I'm telling you, the weeds so much more quickly grow around this little seed that you put in the ground that at first you can't even tell that there's a little plant there. You got to watch. I've actually pulled them up whenever I was weeding the little bitty weeds, you know, early in the spring that start up in the garden. Because these little okra plants, I mean, you put this little seed in the ground and this little bitty plant pops up and it's got these two little leaves on it. And I'm telling you, then like all the growth goes into the roots first. And I wish Adam was here because Adam, he would love to tell you about his okra plants. He hates okra, but his wife talked him into planting okra one year. And he talked about, you know, that like he couldn't imagine the thing got almost 10 foot tall. And they will. They'll just grow up and they get a big old stalk and the arms of those things start sticking out. And then they branch off and pretty soon you got okra all over this thing. I mean, it is just incredible what they'll put on until first frost. And first frost, I mean, they are completely intolerant. It just kills them. But here's the thing. All winter long, unless you go out and pull that thing up, it stands as a testimony. I mean to tell you, you most definitely have birds nesting in their branches. They can land in their branches. They're huge. They're strong. And you never guess it comes from this little bitty seed. It's an incredible plant. And then this is the part that got Adam, you know, and me too. Like you go out there to pull it up. And it's just like, you know, you'd think, because like it's a garden, right? It's soft soil. Them things send down roots into that soil, that subsoil that's underneath. Like you wouldn't believe. You can't hardly pull them up. They're incredible. I mean, like, you got to almost chop these things down and burn them or something. You can't till them up into the soil or anything. They are an amazing plant. And it starts like this. You can hardly see the seed, you know? They're tiny. That's how the kingdom of God is in us. That's how it is through us in a community. You know, we're out sowing seeds, and we're sowing these little bitty seeds, and the world and its problems look way bigger, and we got all these big problems out there, and we go, well, pray about it. Well, that ain't, well, how much good is that? You know, that's just, well, have just a little bit of faith and pray about something. You see what happens. It's incredible as we continue to pray about this person and that person and have just enough faith just to utter a prayer. When we begin to see the kingdom of God grow. Look at a family, you know. I mean, a lot of times a whole family can come into the kingdom through one person getting saved. And in your family, you might be able to trace it back to some ancestor or something in your family, you know, or could be you. Maybe you get to be the catalyst. Maybe your salvation, that little seed, is what's gonna affect like the whole future of your family. You know, I mean, I don't know how it's all going to work, but I believe what Jesus said. He said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like this little tiny seed that becomes the biggest plant. And I've read up about the mustard plants in their, you know, in this region, in this area of the world, and they do, they get huge. They get to 9 to 10 feet tall, And I swear, they got to be okra, because whenever I was looking at it, it was just like this huge, tough-looking plant, like an okra plant. But you know, Jesus, he tells these things in parables so that we can compare them to something that we know, and we can be in awe of that the spiritual reality is just as true or even more astonishing than this physical reality that we can see with our eyes. And so, you know, he goes on in verse 33, and with many such parables, He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Do you ever think sometimes he'd like to tell us more, but we're just not able to hear it yet? Do you ever think about that? You know, I like the way that I think that communicates a major message to us. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Did you ever notice Jesus didn't dump the whole load on a person right away? You know, I love the experience that he had with the woman at the well. And you know, he said, "Hey, woman, get me a drink of water." Well, first of all, it was an unusual thing for a man to be speaking to a woman in the first place. And especially a Samaritan woman. They were in Samaria. I mean, like, this just was totally uncouth for this to be happening in their society. But, you know, he persuades her along in this conversation very gently. This is the one where he winds up, you know, reminding her that she didn't, you know, she said, "Well, I don't really have a husband." And he said, "Yeah, you know, I know. You've had five, and the one that you're with isn't your husband." You know, he already knew that, guys. He already knows this stuff about us. But you see, he don't dump the whole load on you at once. He tells you as you're able to hear. My aim and goal is to try to cultivate so that I'm able to hear more. I want to hear more. You know, sometimes it takes lingering in the presence of God before you're able to hear. You ever notice that? Because there's a lot of noise in the world. Sometimes, you know, we just got to turn everything else off for a little while and just get with God and open up a scripture. And I, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I am astonished whenever God shares this better understanding with me as I search deeper. Like, I've read over these scriptures lots of times and just taken the face value off of them and not really dug any deeper, but God has more treasures he wants to give us. We got to get ourselves in a place where we're able to hear it. Ask him to put us in that place. Ask him to enlarge our territory. Do you notice he kept teaching with these parables, and he even said they had to be spiritually discerned. Part of the reason why he did it. You know, he'd give them a physical thing that they could hang on to, and even an unbeliever, you know, even a person without faith would get something out of it, but they'd probably be scratching their head after they went away. Why in the world is Jesus, all he talks about is agricultural? I thought this was supposed to be the spiritual leader. I thought he was a rabbi. What's he doing talking about agriculture? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I used to be one of those guys. I'm a really straightforward person. I like to communicate very literally, and it used to kind of bug me a little bit that all he did was teach these parables, and I'm thinking, why didn't he just get to the point, you know? I would rather he just explained it to me, point blank. Here's the cool part. Do you notice he did explain it to his disciples in private? That's where I think we need to cultivate that quiet time with him, because it says he confides in those who fear him. That comes from one of the Psalms. What does confiding mean? I confide things, you know, with my wife. I confide in my wife things that are dear to my heart. Things that I might not tell other people that I'm feeling or thinking or trying to explain. I want to make sure that we understand each other, you know. I want to make sure I go further with her in making sure that she understands how I'm feeling. I want to know how she's feeling. That's how God wants us to take the time to be with him. So he tells these parables, and a lot of times there's this face value we can get out of it. He wants us to get with him privately as his disciples so he can explain them deeper to us. He's got a plan in all this, guys. Praise God for his parables. Praise God that he shows us, you know, the kingdom of God that started growing in you, it's going to keep on growing. And you know what? It's going to be a blessing to others, and it's going to affect others, and it's going to give them a place of shelter and shade in their time of need. He wants to make you that kind of person in your own family. He wants you to be that person in society, in your neighborhood. You know, Think about all the entities that are needing direction right now, needing people just to tell them, hey, it's going to be okay. How do you know it's going to be okay? Because I know God. Yeah, we can tell them something from the Word. And a lot of people have had experience with the Word, but they don't really know the Word really well. And praise God, we get to be those who bring it to them. Sow the Word. Sow that seed. And sometimes it'd be just a small seed. I know Dan's bought a lot of trucks in his time. We use every one of those meetings as an opportunity to just try to be a witness to the people that we meet with, you know? So we met one guy in Illinois. He sold us a real zinger. I didn't like the way he treated us, but we did get a chance to give him a Jesus movie and talk to him about the Lord. You know? God wanted us to do that. We met a guy up the other side of Martha'sville. We gave him a Jesus movie, too. We talked to him about the Lord. Guy hadn't really considered the Lord in a long time either, you know? These are all opportunities. How about your job, you know? I know JD, he gets around in a lot of people's backyards. Sometimes he even gets stuck there on a rainy day. But you get opportunities to talk to people and be a blessing to them. You know, just think of every opportunity that you're having with an individual as an opportunity to sow a little seed of faith there. Because here's what might happen. If it takes root and begins to grow because God does the growing, that thing might become the biggest tree in the garden in their family, in their neighborhood, in their community. And then the kingdom just continues to grow. Isn't that the Lord's model prayer? That we're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he wants his kingdom to continue to grow all over this earth. Do we have an enemy? Oh, absolutely. He's God's enemy. But I can say he has no power over God. You find your shelter in God and you can keep going forward with him because the devil, he can't touch us unless God gives him permission. So keep your eyes on him. You guys have any thoughts tonight about this? I like this parable of the mustard seed. It really is. We can't control the growth, but once we plant it, we let God take care of the rest, right? Shelly? Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. They really can. And I don't know about the mustard plant, but the okra plant's like that too. Once that growth goes to the roots first, man, once, and then that plant really starts to spring up and starts to increase its size, it gets big fast after that. It's incredible how that first growth is real quiet and silent and invisible, but boy, the latter growth can grow really fast. John? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it is cool. The manifold purposes of God is what that is referred to in the scripture. Yeah, he has manifold purposes. Whenever I got saved, part of it was for my own salvation. Absolutely, and that's the part I was most happy about at the moment. And part of it was for the life of my young men that are sitting here, for our family. Part of it was for the people I didn't even know yet, who are now part of our family. Part of it is for, you know, who would... There's no way I could have known, you know, what wonderful wives that our sons would have. You know, these are the most awesome young women. And I truly mean that. I couldn't have gone out and searched the world and picked a better wife for Nathan or for John. God did that. And you see, it was all because of the faith that spawned way back there in my living room whenever I was 29 years and some change, almost 30 years old. And I mean, some things happened that I was at the lowest point of my life and I was ready to give up. And I did. I just gave up. and gave in to Jesus. I quit playing tug of war with him because he's too strong. You can't win. Just give it all to him. Stop trying to hang on to any part of it. Give it all to him and see what he'll do. Like 30, 60, or 100-fold, right? So you sow one seed and you get how many seeds? Yeah, hundreds or thousands of seeds come from that. That is so true. Steve. Amen. Yeah, when it was in that jar, it wasn't affecting anything, was it? Yeah. That's pearls. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, we don't. Yeah. You know, and he proves it out by the previous parable of the sower, how that sower just sowed the seed, and it fell on different kinds of soil. You know? I mean, it just did. It fell on different kinds of soil. But here's the thing. Man, whenever it hits the good soil, isn't it amazing what happens? It's so awesome to see that. Yes? Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Sometimes the soil changes. Yeah. Some of that soil might get worked on for years, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And he said, whenever it's all done, we shouldn't think of any more of ourselves than just an unprofitable servant. And that really is an important thing for us to remember. We are not guaranteed any particular outcome for our labor other than just obeying God. And that we're a child of God, and eventually we're going to be in heaven. I mean, how could we ask for any more than that anyways? But we would love to see some of that seed grow. And sometimes he lets us see little glimpses. And I think it's whenever we're in a place that we can handle that. He doesn't want to ruin us by letting us think it was us. It really isn't us. It's totally God that does that growing. Just need to be faithful and just keep sowing. Just keep sowing, you know. And God will do the growing. And boy, he can do some growing. My goodness. It's so amazing. I've read just about these different revivals of the past and how they spread to great awakenings. And they might have started with just one person thinking, man, I need to get together with some other people and pray. And I mean, sometimes it'd be two people, three people, and that prayer group might continue to grow a little bit. And out of that little prayer group, you see the great awakening. You see the Welsh revival. You know, you see things like that. It's just incredible what God will do through that little seed of faith. So don't despise the small beginnings. Make sure you act on what God tells you. It don't have to be a home run every time, guys. It's just that quiet faithfulness that God's looking for. You know, I played baseball, and I wanted to hit a home run every time I got into the batter's box. And I hit very few. But I got a lot of base hits. And you know, base hits is what wins the game. It's not just home runs. We got to make sure that we just try to be faithful. I'm going to pray for you. Dear God, I want to thank you for these that are here today. And Lord, this is just a little bit of that sowing and the maintaining of the word, Lord, the maintenance in our lives. And I pray that you would help it all to grow and help it to be like that mustard plant, that little seed of faith that grows to the biggest one in the garden. I pray, Lord, that you would just grow your kingdom in me. Grow your kingdom among us. Grow your kingdom in our families. Grow your kingdom in our communities. Oh, Lord, we just ask that you'll help us to be faithful. Just help us to be faithful to what you've called us to do. Help us to make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.